Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety, the podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me this evening via Skype, as always, is my friend Mike Alibov. And Mike, the Islanders have only played three games since we last spoke, but we've kind of seen the good, the bad, the ugly, all kinds of stuff in those three games.
Yeah, really, really strange trio of games. I had no other reaction but to laugh when the Islanders scored the game winner against the Rangers on Friday night.
No, it was Thursday.
I was away with... Yes, yeah, right. They didn't play back-to-back against the Rangers. It felt like there was a back-to-back because of the weird start. But I started cracking up. And my other half looked... She looked over at Emily. She's like, what is so funny? And I was like, it would take too long to explain what the Islanders scored. And she's like, oh, that's good, right? I was like, yeah, of course it's good. Like, but she's like, so what's so funny? And I was like... They only got one shot in the whole third period. It's just such a mess to get into. So, like, let's just say it was a very, very, very Islanders thing to happen, and in the best of ways. And she was totally okay with that.
That's really funny. I of course, per my longstanding policy, I did not watch either of the two Rangers games. But I did watch the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning that we'll talk about in a few minutes. That was a surprising Islanders victory in a different way than the Rangers, the one against the Rangers. We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I guess we'll start with that Thursday game against the Rangers. The Islanders were coming in off a loss against the Carolina Hurricanes, in which they had played fairly poorly. They were coming before that was a win in St. Louis, which they played very poorly. And against the Rangers for the first two periods, I actually ended up watching it in the replay the next day because I had taken the day off for work and the Islanders won, so I figured it was safe to watch. And they actually played pretty well in the first two periods. They got a bunch of goals. Barzal had a breakaway. Letty had a power play goal that turned out to be Lee's power play goal. And things were looking okay. They went into the third period with a 3-2 lead and seemed like everything was going well. Then the third period started, and the Islanders, like you said, ended up with one shot on goal in that entire period. The Rangers had 17, and the Islanders' shot came with a minute and a half to go, and it was a beautiful feed from Cal Clutterbuck to a wide-open Josh Bailey, who basically just wasted no time in potting it right over a sprawling Henrik Lundqvist, probably the greatest phrase in Islanders' vocabulary, sprawling Henrik Lundqvist, and... That was it. That was pretty much all she wrote. The Rangers had a little bit of a push there, but they didn't win. And the third period was pretty awful by all accounts.
Yeah.
I watched it the next day, and it was like, for the first couple of minutes, it was like, it's not that big a deal. Like, the Islanders are kind of playing smart, and they're just, you know, generally kind of playing, you know, a keep-away third period on the road, quote-unquote, even though it's at the Garden. But then after about the 10-minute mark, it was like, holy cow, they don't have any shots yet? What the hell is going on? And it just spiraled from there, basically, to like, what the hell are you guys doing? What are you doing out there?
And when I said the most Islander thing to happen, I meant the least. Like, the Islanders, I don't know if the Islanders really have ever won a game like that, more that it came against the Rangers. Like, I've seen the Islanders have those games where they were kind of the inferior team, standings-wise, whatever, and they'll, you know, put in a good shift against the Rangers. They're like, wow, the Islanders deserve this win, and then the old Lundqvist, you know, Lundqvist 38 save, you know, 2-goal performance, then the Rangers get a goal off a shin pad. Like, that whole thing happened, I feel like, to the Islanders, not just against the Rangers too, but against tons of teams. It felt so funny. Like, just, I didn't know what to do because I couldn't believe it's like when you see a tweet and you got to make sure it's from a real Twitter account. Like, I just couldn't believe my eyes. I was just like, this is
the best.
Did that
part
goal
about
really
it.
Just happen?
The best part about it was Cal Clutterbuck's reaction, because he passed again. It was a beautiful pass across the zone, kind of from the corner, almost straight out through, went through somebody's legs, I think, and right to Bailey's stick, and he scored. And then somehow they came together for a hug, and somehow Clutterbuck ended up on his back on the ice and was just like yelling in Bailey's face. It was like, it was almost like they won a gold medal or something, but it was really just a regular season game against the Rangers in the funniest way possible.
Yeah, it was just a beautiful moment. You know, Lundqvist, like you said, sprawled on the ground. Clutterbuck and Bailey, who I don't know if they've ever played on the ice together.
I don't even know what they were doing out there together.
Yeah.
What? But
it went through Neil Pionk and through six different ways. It went through his legs and his stick and his like arms. And I was like, what the?
Yeah.
Then, oh, my God, it was hysterical. It was. And the way I am too, this is like in a lot of my life, when things are going well, all you're just worried about the regression. And I was just like, we are going to pay for that on Saturday.
yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Well, so Barry Trotz was cognizant of how bad that third period was. And again, I want to state they were pretty good. They were very good in the first period, actually. The Islanders had the run of play. And then in the second, it was kind of more even, but the third period was all Rangers. Barry Trotz called it poke and hope was what they were playing. They were trying to poke the puck away and hope that it skittered out, you know, into safety. And that was just not how it works. They need to go through players and not just sort of poke at the puck and hope for the best. The lineup changes saw Ross Johnston in for Michael Dal Colle because Barry Trotz thought that the Rangers were going to be, quote, up to something. And it was very funny when he said that, too. Nothing really happened. Cody McLeod, I guess, had a words or something with Matt Martin or maybe some pushing, but Johnston wasn't really involved. So it was kind of a weird, almost like an old school Islanders-Rangers game, a little bit of gamesmanship and then kind of a weird ending. But like you said, they did have a game against them 2 nights later, or 2 days, I should say, a matinee game 2 days later in Brooklyn. And, you know, that the Thursday night game didn't give you a whole lot of hope that the Islanders would sort of continue their dominance in the next game. And this one I haven't watched. I still haven't watched it at all. The Islanders lost 2-1 at home, the Rangers' first ever win at Barclays Center. So unfortunately, we don't even have that stat to hold over the Rangers anymore. The Islanders were better possession-wise. That's good. They were 0 for 6 on the power play, which is very bad. So this is another one, and we talked about this last week. Throw this one on the pile of games this season that the Islanders' bad power play has cost them. I mean, they score on one of those six power plays. Maybe they go to overtime. Maybe they get a point. Maybe they win. Who knows? I mean, what is it? This has got to be at least half a dozen now games, right, where the power plays essentially cost them a point at least.
Yeah.
And that's and really demoralizing.
I think we spoke about it. Everyone spoke about it. But I think one of the things that's going under the radar, and I'd have to look at their penalty plus minus, but you have Matt Barzal on your team, you're going to draw penalties. Yeah. So the Islanders are going to have power. Like, I feel like every fan base feels this way, but we definitely do, is that the Islanders kind of got the short end of the stick. I think Claude Lapointe had the quote back during the 2002 playoff series against the Maple Leafs, like, you know, the refs are calling these games like we still stink or something like that. And I think him and Milbury were both really pissed after game two. And I remember being mad too. I can't remember what exactly it was, but I remember being like, wow, we got jobbed by the refs in game two. And the point, you know, basically was just reiterating a famous, you know, Francesism too. Like, if you're the better team, if you're a good team, those breaks go your way. The Islanders are going to get breaks from the officials just because of basically because of Barzal in that first line. Like, they are always he's always skating by somebody. And that means his teammates are going to be in good position because there's going to be space on the ice because someone is got his numbers going the wrong way and is chasing Matt Barzal. So, like, there's that line is going to generate calls again. So there's going to be opportunities. So they really need to fix the issue here. And I mean, Devon Taves thing, I think you mentioned is logical. I'm starting to think that maybe they should use Brock Nelson more because of his shot being such a weapon. Yeah. But I really just don't know. Like, it's a power play. Power plays are so fickle.
Right. And this one, that cost them the game. I mean, you can't go 0-for-6 on the power play. Like, you just can't. Those are six gifts. And you might not see six power plays for the next three games, even with Barzal, who, by the way, actually, Brendan Burke was talking about this. Somebody asked him, and he mentioned it today. So I just called up the tweet. Barzal is actually seventh in the league in penalties drawn this year with 21. Sasha Barkov leads the league with 27. So there's only about six between Barkov and Barzal.
Has Barkov taken a penalty yet?
I don't, probably not. He's a very clean player.
Yeah, I think he was like going through the first like 40 games without one, which is amazing. I remember being impressed by Franz Nielsen's ability to not take penalties. He had that one season, and then I think maybe the season after that he took a penalty on like the first during the home opener or whatever. And I was like, hey, Franz, what are you doing?
Wasn't there one game where he took like two, and it was like, what is happening right now? Like, this never happens.
I can't imagine what he like said to himself after that game.
Flogged
so much
himself.
Shame.
Probably put on a hair shirt or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, the Yenta loss.
Yeah,
right. I love it.
But yeah, so Barzal does draw a lot of penalties. And they are going to get penalties, although I wondered about the refereeing in the Tampa Bay game, which we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, that the power play is absolutely killing them. And Nick Leddy in particular, Leddy had a, I mean, I don't want to beat up on Nick Leddy, but he had a really bad game against the Rangers. One, he basically misplayed the puck on the game tying goal. And then the game winning goal pretty much bounced off of him and bounced off of Robin Leonard with 5 minutes to go. So it's a little bit kind of like what happened to the Rangers two nights earlier against the Islanders, but not nearly as funny, which, you know, is kind of the difference between the Islanders and Rangers. And so, you know, it was an incredibly disappointing loss coming off of a funny, if not necessarily, you know, perfect win. And the problem is that the Islanders' margin of error is still very, very small. I mean, this is, again, not a talent-laden team. And as I think we'll talk about probably in a little bit, there are basically four or five teams battling right now for the same, maybe one playoff spot. So any kind of loss, and they're all winning all at the same time, which is incredibly annoying. So any loss is going to be kind of huge, and the, you know, especially losing against the Rangers on a matinee in front of a bunch of kids for the first time ever in Barclays Center is going to be a huge deal. Making matters even worse was that the next game was against the league-leading Tampa Bay Lightning, who had only lost 8 games all year. They have only lost 1 game since Thanksgiving, which is insane. And what happens? They come into Brooklyn, and the Islanders score 3 goals in the first 5 minutes of the game and basically cruise to a 5-1 win. That was maybe cruise is a little bit too strong a word, but scoring 3 goals in the first 5 minutes, Devon Taves again, he's got as many goals. He is now tied for the team lead in goals by a defenseman, and he's been with the 10 games. Like, that's amazing. Great. Yeah. And he had a beautiful one that night. Ping right off the post, right it in. Thomas Greiss was absolutely fantastic. Again, I probably shouldn't have said cruise, but Greiss was most definitely on cruise control. He pretty much stopped everything except for the easiest shot he saw, which was just from Ryan McDonagh, kind of coming in by himself with nothing else to do. He put the puck on net. I don't know if it bounced off somebody or Greiss just didn't see it, but it went in, and that was by far the easiest shot he saw all night, and it was the only one he didn't stop. But other than that, he was fantastic. And the fourth line, the quote-unquote fourth line, the Cizikas line, we should probably just call it the CCM line. I don't know why nobody's thought of that before. I mean, it's Casey Cizikas, Cal Clutterbuck, Matt Martin. Just call it the CCM line. Everybody knows CCM. Hockey brand. We just call it that for now because it's not a fourth line because they don't play like it. And they just ran if I was a Lightning fan, I would be like hella pissed off that this Islanders grind line just absolutely pulverized my team and was cycling with impunity throughout my zone the entire night. They ended up with 6 points between them. You know, that's crazy. I don't think anybody on the Lightning expected that to happen, but that's exactly what happened. It's crazy.
Yeah, I that was the game. So I had a really bad stream for that game. I was watching. I got to watch the first couple of minutes, and it made me laugh in a completely different way than the Ranger game. I was like, this, you know, it was the same thing. You know, I had to make sure that it was really happening. That, like, when I saw the goals go in, I'm like, wait a minute, they're up. That's 3 of them, and it's been 3 or 4 minutes, and it was, I mean, the whole experience of that game, like, because I lost the stream quickly, and it was the last day of my vacation, so I was spending some time, and then just, like, keeping an eye on Twitter, I was like, this game is going to end with people melting down because the Islanders blew a lead, or it's just going to be people saying, like, oh, man, like, this is crazy, and it was the latter, which was good, and I actually did something after that game. I was like, you know, I knew the Lightning had only lost whatever, yeah, like you said, 8 games in regulation or whatnot, and so I wanted to look at their record and their points. Just I hadn't checked that part of the standings in a while, that division, and we know it's a very important division. That I was like, wow, look at their record. It just looks crazy to look at those numbers, 35-9-2 or whatever it was, 35-8-2. And then I looked at the Islanders' record, and I was like, this looks so much prettier than I thought. Like, the Islanders' record on paper, if you look at it, I keep expecting to see them being like 19-16-7, you know?
No, they're 10 games, like, over 500.
Right? Yes, they're 10 games over 500, which is unbelievable. Because I keep – the way that we are treated by the media, it makes us seem like we are just scrapping our way to, like, you know, loser points and somehow staying afloat in this playoff race. And then I'm like, every other team in the Metro, while the Islanders were winning 8 or whatever we won in a row, 7 in a row, 6 in a row – everyone else in the Metro was on a crazy run above us. The Blue Jackets, the Penguins, and the Capitals were all streaking as well. I think the Penguins won like 8 in a row or something. And So I knew that we weren't really entrenched in a playoff spot because of how hot the other teams had been. And that's that, and the way the media has treated us has put this like weird thing in my head that the Islanders are like just kind of scraping by, collecting points, stealing points or whatever. And then you look at their record, it's just like jarring for a second. Like, no, this team has a really good record and they probably deserve to be a little bit higher. It's just they've been a little unlucky with the other team's results. And that was like the big takeaway I took from that Lightning game was that, yes, they're like I've been saying, they're going to make it really hard for the best of teams to beat them. And they did it again. They won. They kind of blitzed them early and held on, which they works fine. And that strategy has kind of let them or this like resiliency or whatever you want to call it, organization has led them to this crazy good record for this for a team that probably should be 15 points lower in the standings than they are on when you look at it on paper.
Not only are they 10 games over 500, I think it's 10, but not only are they, let's just call it that. Not only are they 10 games under
500. Yeah, they're 25, 15, and 4. Yeah.
So
that is the best record I've ever seen.
So they're not only is that their record, but they're also second in the league in goals against, right? I think they were one goal behind the Bruins.
Yeah, they were leading the league in goals against, I think, going into the Toronto game because that was like a big or maybe like a right after that point, that game, because everyone was, you know, started talking about the Islanders for the first time of the season and they were like, holy shit. The Islanders are leading the league. Here's an easy story. Like, look what they did last year. Now look what they did. And they obviously don't know the whole reasoning is, you know, goaltending obviously is a big part, but there's a lot going on here that people aren't paying attention to outside of the Islander fan base.
I want to talk about this later after we wrap up the game, but there's definitely the Islanders turnaround is definitely more pronounced if you watched this team last year. And I think the fact of the matter is that a lot of people didn't, you know, because they weren't very good. And obviously the focus was on one guy as opposed to what the team was doing. Or I shouldn't say that. The focus was on two guys, the guy who ended up winning the Rookie of the Year and the guy who was, you know, everybody was salivating over. But I mean, just in speaking in general, I think people kind of knew that they were a disaster defensively and they just didn't care. If you watch that team regularly, as we did, game in, game out, and then you watch this team, it's night and day. It's not even almost the same team, and it's almost the exact same roster without one incredibly talented guy on it. Like that's the crazy part.
Yeah, so, yeah. We keep saying like they got worse. This team got worse over the offseason.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah, but here they are, having given up like 100 less goals over the course of the, you know, same time that they had given up a historic amount of goals last year. But anyway, just to wrap up the Lightning game real quick. So yeah, 5-1 was the final score. Josh Bailey with the empty netter. The Lightning did have 22 shots on goal in the second, which is a lot, obviously. The Islanders had 14, which is also kind of a healthy number. Tampa Bay finished with 39 shots to the Islanders 28, which, you know, I guess kind of makes sense considering that the Islanders had a 3-goal lead 5 minutes into the period.
That just throws like a game script out the window. So
kinda, yeah.
Weird stuff's just gonna happen in a game like that.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think they were perfect. As Greiss absolutely was the star of that game. I know the 3 goals are kind of the lead sentence in the game story, but Greiss was phenomenal in that game. And without him, they definitely blow that lead in a hurry. And Trotz said in the second they were looking for cookies. I guess means that they were trying to find some easy plays and didn't get it. So, but you know, far from a perfect game, but you know, when you're staked to a 3-0 lead against the best team in the league, you take it. And I think they played well enough that, you know, they definitely deserve to win. And now we just got to go on. And now, so there's 5 games before the All-Star break. There are 5, frankly, winnable games. I know that's just going to jinx them even more, but starting with Tuesday night against St. Louis, who are playing right now as we speak in Washington, D.C. So hopefully that'll help the Islanders out a lot. But yeah, I mean, the turnaround for this team is remarkable. And sometimes I really wish I could go back and watch some games from last year. I mean, I guess I could. They're probably on NHL TV or something like that. But just go back and watch those games. And I was thinking about it today because I was watching Trotz's press conference from the Lightning game. They only played a few minutes of it on MSG, so I watched the whole thing on the Islanders' website today. And then I watched the game against the press conference he gave against the Rangers game, the second one on Saturday. And, you know, Trotz has talked this whole time about playing the right way, playing the right way, playing the right way. And whenever he says that, I think of two things. One, I picture Doug Weight somewhere stewing and getting angry that the insinuation that the team didn't play the right way when he was the coach, which I guess is probably not what Barry's trying to say there, but that's certainly the way it comes off. But I think about those games from last year. And I think about the fact that we knew, we're not hockey coaches, but like we knew sitting here and talking about these games that they were not playing the right way. Not even close. Guys blowing the zone early. I mean, the poke and hope was not an anomaly for one period. It was the entire strategy. Poke at the puck and hope that it goes out. You know, they scored a lot of goals, but they were a complete disaster and on the penalty kill, in their own zone for anything. And it really drives home if you really think about those old games. And I mean, I can't think of one specifically in my head, but just the kind of overall feeling that watching those games from a year ago gave you, you really get the sense of what the right way is. And we all knew that was the wrong way. Now we're seeing the right way. And, you know, hopefully the Islanders can continue this. They are 10 games over 500. They're only, what, 3 points behind Columbus right now for second in the Metro? They're only
4 points behind a certain team in the so-called hockey mecca.
That I saw as well. And they're like 6 points behind the Caps or maybe 5 points behind the Caps. So, I mean,
yeah, they are a live dog. They are just a live dog.
And this is, you know, they got to keep playing the right way. And hopefully they don't want to go back to the way it was last year, which was definitely not the right way.
Yeah, actually, it's weird to think about last year just because of everything was just the polar opposite. The vibes, the general feeling of where this organization was. So it's just – we say it a lot, I think, on the show, like just to think about where we were last a year from today. And like, I'm sure if we were recording a podcast at this time last year, it was probably miserable. And we probably were just, you know, the world was falling down around us. And now it doesn't feel that way. It's incredible. And that's why, like, I honestly urge you to look at those standings, like, cause all day long tomorrow or whatever you're listening to, just like have it up and just look at it, because it's wild to see. And the goal differential is great. There's really no, the only red flag is just how good other teams have played, and the Islanders kind of just weathered a little bit of a storm. I don't think they're out of it, obviously, you know, there's still a long way to go, but they kind of lost their way for a three-game stretch, and they came out of that three-game stretch just fine. Like, you know, a one and two stretch, you know, the Hurricanes game was disappointing, especially coming off the games that they had just played. And but to kind of then rattle off a win you didn't really deserve against the Rangers, and then a win you did deserve against the best team in the NHL, and maybe one of the best teams we've seen in this like post third whatever lockout it was generation, like that's really good. Yeah. And even when they've been going bad this year, things haven't hit like, you know, DEFCON 4 or whatever. It's so easy to do that with the Islanders and Islander fans, and we are definitely guilty of that as just as anybody else. And
I guess what I would hope that people would kind of get in their mind is that, you know, don't let anybody kind of take this away from you. Like, don't let anybody take what this team has accomplished so far away from you. I saw some tweets from some hockey experts after the game last night. I made the mistake of logging into my old account right after the game just to see what people were saying, and immediately logged out again because I was getting irritated. You know, it's okay. Yeah, their PDO is pretty high because they get a lot of saves and they have a lot of guys with crazy shooting percentages. Don't let anybody take away the fun from this season from you. Like, this has been fun. And, you know, it might not end fun. It might not be fun tomorrow, but it's fun right now. And that's what this whole thing is about. What are we doing this if not for the fun? Things can maybe not get fun in a hurry, and we'll talk about it in a second. There's some swirling rumors or scuttlebutt or conjecture surrounding one player who's actually not with the Islanders right now. But this has been fun. I mean, and I keep having to remind myself, and, you know, sometimes – stepping away from the game and taking it all in is helpful. And you're like, yeah, that was cool. But I mean, it also works the other way. When they lose, you know, it's like, ah, man, that really sucks, and it stays with you. But still, if you step away, you get over it and you move on to the next thing. And you're like, all right, we'll just get them next time. There's some I don't know how should we broach this. There's some talk about well, as I was mentioned before about the lineup change. Ross Johnson was in for the two games against the Rangers. Michael Del Cole played against the Lightning. He played pretty well. You know, he's doing his thing. He's not scoring, but he's playing a pretty responsible game on the third line with Filppula and Komarov. And the guy who used to be on that spot, Josh Ho-Sang, he's still in Bridgeport. The Sound Tigers have two games Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they have two games Saturday, Sunday. So it's possible that Josh is down there for all of them. But I don't know. How do we want to say that? Maybe there's some you know, action going on, maybe? I don't know. We'll see, but I don't know.
It's like we just were talking about how good a spot the Islanders are in, and there is obviously a way that this can all come unraveling. And this kind of situation, the Ho-Sang thing, won't help the cause. If someone's if people are like goading you on Twitter or whatever, yeah, you know, like you said, just walk away. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like let the Josh Ho-Sang, you know, rumors, you know, do their thing. They'll go away and he'll be on the Islanders in on a playoff run.
My whole feeling is if it happens, it happens. Like that's my
just
thing.
Just let it go.
If it happens, it happens. And you know, if you know, knowing it's going to happen, I don't know. It doesn't really change the fact that it's going to happen, or maybe it's not going to happen. I don't know. You know, yeah, I think, you know, I'm with you. Like, I don't want it to distract me from the strides that this team has made and the fun that this is supposed to be, especially with an enormous packed schedule over the next week before the All-Star game, where we can watch Matthew Barcel hopefully turn every other player in every other division inside out and bring home the MVP trophy for the Metro Division. I'm not kidding, by the way. I've very rarely ever I enjoy the NHL All-Star game, but I've very rarely been as confident as I am right now that Matt Barzal could win the All-Star game MVP trophy. Like is there another guy in the league that is literally built for that event?
No,
that
Matt Barzal. True. It's so funny. Yeah, no, it's a really good way to put it.
He's got the skills. They're going to he's going to be on a center with he's going to center a line with Claude Giroux and I don't know, Evgeny Malkin. Like two amazing players. I had to bet money, could we put a bet down on Matt Barzal winning MVP?
Probably yeah, they'll definitely put up odds for All-Star game MVP. I'll let you know when they do. I think when is it, next Saturday? Like a week from Saturday?
Yeah,
they'll definitely have odds up probably like Thursday of next week.
That'll be
I would guess he'd be like 10-1. So the odds would be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think he's an underdog for sure, but that would be pretty awesome. But before that, they have a bunch of games. So they're playing the Blues Tuesday night at home. Again, they beat the Blues a week or so ago in St. Louis, but it was not a convincing performance. They got some lucky goals. Their goalie for that game is probably going to be rookie Jordan Binnington. And I like to make a joke about something named Jordan Binnington, but he is first ever NHL game. He shut out the Philadelphia Flyers. So
who is it? Craig Billington?
Billington. Yeah. He used to be.
Yes.
The Avalanche. Yeah.
That's beautiful that there's now been a Binnington and a Billington.
So far this guy looks like Craig Billington because he looks pretty good. So then that's Tuesday. And then Thursday they host the New Jersey Devils at Nassau Coliseum. So a bit of old school there. And then Friday is Barry Trotz's hopefully triumphant return to Washington, D.C. To play the Caps on a back-to-back. And that's another thing that's kind of weird about that Tampa game is that the Islanders are now 6-0 on the second half of back-to-backs. And Arthur Staple asked Barry Trotz what the secret was. And Trotz was like, if I knew, I would bottle it and I would sell it. I don't know. Maybe they're more focused. I don't know. I don't get it. But he was curious as to what they are in the front end, and I believe they're 4-2. So, I mean, you know, they've lost this week. They lost one, and I guess there was another one. So that's going to be a tough test. If playing the best team in the NHL at home on a back-to-back is a tough test, playing the defending Stanley Cup champions on the road on a back-to-back is like the final level. Like, it's almost like a video game. So you got the hardest level, and then you got another hard level on top of that. that's so, again, like I said last week, I don't expect them to win that game, but they better make it so that it's somehow productive. Either they got to play them, you know, play them well and just kind of lose a hard block one, or get the points and just win it, because nobody's going to give you a break. You need those points.
Yeah, it's fun. I didn't think going into this year, this season, that I would be so into the Barry Trotz homecoming thing, but just now that I love him like he is one of my own family members, I probably maybe more, and I don't think any of my family members would be offended by that statement. They love him too. Is that means a lot to me now personally. I feel like, you know, this is like Barry Trotz and I have been together for like 42 years at this, and we got ousted, and now we got to come back and beat them.
I'm kind of curious as to see what they're like, if they're going to, because the you mentioned it. I didn't even realize it. The banner raising night, they didn't acknowledge him at all. Like they didn't,
right, yeah,
he wasn't on the video or anything. So I guarantee they're going to give him a video, but I'm just kind of curious as to what it will be, you know?
That's part of it, right? Like the way they treated him after he had made, after he won them a Stanley Cup. Like, come on. He won your city its first sports championship.
The Washington Capitals won a Stanley Cup with this guy. Give me a break, yeah. You know?
And that's kind of the upsetting part. I remember someone saying, like, you know, think about the Capitals fans. Like, isn't it kind of the same thing you guys – isn't it a little, like, hypocritical with the thing with Toronto and Tavares and Trotz and the Islanders? It's like, you know, you can definitely think that if you want from afar, but Barry Trotz won them a Stanley Cup. Like, he did his job there, and he left. Like, he didn't leave anything unfinished, and they treated him like we should have – you know, we should treat Tavares, it seems like, you know, like just forget about it and burn a bridge. And I don't know why they did it. So that's why, you know, it actually means a lot to me, and hopefully it means a lot to the team. Because I'm sure, like we saw with the Tavares game, how he kind of, in a very wise way, pumped his guys up by just being brutally honest and frank and saying, you know, obviously it should hurt. Like, I'm sure he's going to tell his team, like, you know, these guys kind of did me wrong. Like, I love them. Like, we saw how much he loved them in that locker room video, but they, you know, they kind of did him wrong, and I'm sure he will remind his team. And I can promise you that every one of his players would run through a wall for him. So I'm sure, you know, it's like there's no – people always say there's no such thing as a momentum or whatever. That game is definitely going to mean a little bit more to Trotz and hopefully sure. The team. So I'm not too worried about the tired legs, hopefully, for the second leg of the back-to-back.
I would think the Islanders would want to win that game for Trotz, although they did lose their game against the Caps in Brooklyn. But again, that team was very early in the season. That was before November. That was before Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken, right? That was,
yeah.
It was pretty early, so they were still trying to kind of find their legs. But, yeah, the more I think about it, though, the Trotz thing versus the Tavares thing isn't even almost close. I mean, with Tavares, you had like a two-year run-up to him leaving, and again, the whole thing about he kept saying how much he loved it here and wanted to stay and blah, blah. Meanwhile, you know, at the same time, he just ghosted everybody and then disappeared and then came out on the other side, a Toronto Maple Leaf. Whereas with Trotz, he was too busy winning a Stanley Cup to, if anything, the Caps were close to firing him earlier in the season when they were kind of good, but not really great. They didn't look like they had.
Yeah. If they lost that series against the Blue Jackets, they would have parted ways with him.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, it's a lot different. I mean, if the Islanders had traded Tavares and then he signed with the Leafs, that maybe that would be a little bit different, because it would have been like there was a break there, just the way if, you know, with Trotz, he had a clause or he could negotiate his contract and they just didn't give it to him. That's the thing, too, is like they renegotiated. They had the opportunity to renegotiate with him and he wanted more than they were willing to pay. And he walked away. So, I mean, this was just like with the Islanders, it was like, here, we're going to give you all of this stuff. And he was just like, nah, I'm going to take this stuff from these other guys over here because of a video in which,
yeah,
I don't know, Kyle Dubas had him winning Stanley Cup with the Leafs or something. Like, I don't know.
But I think it's so funny. Like, that's like kind of how everyone's been treating the Islanders this season, right? Yeah, everyone is just, we're seeing it from the media especially, and you brought it up before, like, these people are looking at it from such a surface level stuff, yeah, that like that's why it gets so mad. Is like, you're like, no, there are 18 other rungs on this ladder before it got to this point. And like, that's the point that's pissing me off about, you know, the Hosang thing. Like, there's so much to it that people aren't going to grasp. They're just going to say, oh, he's got a bad attitude. Like, I don't really – I think he was young and immature, and he's learned every step of the way and has kind of put that stuff behind him. And then now that he got sent down again, which, like, questionable, is definitely something to be thought about. But don't just go jump to a conclusion because someone in the media says it. And then it's the same with, like, the Islanders being, quote-unquote, like, overperforming. Yeah, sure, like, they've maybe gotten lucky with, you know, rode a PDO wave, especially early in the year. But there's a lot more going on than just the Islanders having running hot goaltending-wise or shooting percentage-wise. Like, there's so much more that these people are missing that is, like, if this team keeps it together and get to the playoffs, like, they're going to surprise people still, even though if people had been paying attention to us and this team would be like, no, we've been good. Like, we deserve to be here. This isn't – it smells like a fairy tale story. It looks like a fairy tale story, but it's a chapter book. Like, there's a lot going on with this team. And that's like what's been so frustrating coming from media sources that I shouldn't be letting get under my skin. But I am.
Yeah.
I guess got a vent. It's cathartic.
Yeah, no, and it look, it happens to all of us, you know. And I mean, that's why especially during the Leafs game, we were all kind of shouting from the rooftops, no, seriously, these guys are pretty good. And, you know, then they went out and showed it. Or the game against the Blackhawks where they pumped 50 shots on them on NBCSN, and then Jeremy Rona comes in talking about how the Blackhawks played a sound defensive game. What are you talking about? Like, that's, you know, these kinds of things happen to us all the time, and they're going to keep happening to the Islanders, unfortunately, because that's just how it is. Maybe when, you know, the next step, another, forget Hosang, like, we're getting closer to the start of hopefully shovels getting in the ground for Belmont Park. They had those three meetings at the township, and people got up and vented their problems and talked about, you know, wanting this, that, and the other thing, not wanting another mega mall. Some of these people, I don't know where they got their idea of what's getting built there, but some of them are completely out to lunch. But we're getting to that point now too, and what's going to happen is, you know, ideally the team will start construction on the arena at Belmont Park very shortly, and that will be another thing for people to get wrong. You know, Pierre McGuire still thinks that they're you know, going to move somewhere because they haven't secured anything for the arena. It's like, no, we're kind of close here, Pierre. So just, you know, pay attention. But that's just going to be how it is. And you know, that's why I was saying before, like, don't let that derail what's been the most enjoyable season this team has had since 2014-15. And actually, it's funny to bring that up because we were talking before about how, like, the other teams have played really well. That 14-15 team was really, really good. And they were good for a long time, and it took historic runs by both the Rangers and Capitals to bust the Islanders down to third in the division, I think, is where they ended up, or something like that. I know they ended up at seventh because they kind of stumbled a lot. But
they finished third in the Metro, I think.
No, I think they finished seventh in the East, and they had to play the Caps, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was in the – but they were still doing, like, the 1-2 – that was the first year. So they I'm pretty sure – so they finished third in the Metro by a point, or maybe on a tiebreaker. And I think it was because the Islanders had lost that game to Columbus in the last game at the Coliseum in a shoot, or
it was a shootout.
Or whatever it was. And so it was just like, you know, home ice advantage really mattered in that series. And so one bounce goes the other way, the Islanders, and like you said, they were really good. Like,
they
that
were
team
really good. And the Caps and Rangers both set franchise records for, like, wins in a month or something like that to blow past them. And it's like, oh, man, even when they're good, they're not good enough, you know. So hopefully Trotz this year can kind of get them over that hump and make them good. And that's the other thing, too. I want another huge difference that only Islanders fans will recognize, because we're the only ones who pay attention, is that I remember for years the mantra from Garth Snow to the coaches – to the players, and particularly Tavares always said this, was all you got to do is get into the playoffs. Just get into the playoffs. Anything can happen. We've seen crazy things happen. All you got to do is get in. Doesn't really matter how you get in. I don't think these guys think that way. I think these guys know how close they are to winning the division, finishing second in the division, getting home ice or something like that. I think they know. And I don't think these guys are going to play the, just get in and see what happens game. Like, and that is a huge difference. Like, these guys aren't trying to just kind of sneak into eighth place and hope for the best. They want to keep going. They don't want to just stop. They want to keep on winning and making, getting as high as they can, because, you know, seventh place is nice, but second is even better. And that's a huge, huge, huge change from what was going on earlier. I mean, and I'm welcome to it. Thank God, because nothing drove me crazier than, oh, just get in and never, and you never know what happens. That to me is like the most defeatist thing I've ever heard. I'd almost rather have you be like, no, we're tanking for a first overall pick. Like, it's, I mean, what's the difference at that point?
I am so guilty of that. I was my college roommates would just remember. I don't think the Islanders had a meaningful game in March my entire college life. So that was my mantra with like my college roommates and stuff. They're like, oh, what do you want from the Islanders this season? I want one meaningful game after Valentine's Day, you know? So that was it. Like, but that's basically my era of Islander fans. Like, I was 3 years old when the Islanders won that playoffs, the only playoff series in my life pre the Panthers one. Like, right. That never happened. Like, I've never seen them do anything like that. So those were huge moments for me. And like you said, like, that is not the way that Penguins fans think or anyone thinks. And getting to that point is where we all want to be, where, you know, we just are meaningful games in March are the beginning of the season for us, you know, right, more than anything. But I think you bring up a good point. Like, this team, you can sense it, and it might sound, you know, off, it's not something you can tangibly assess, but like, this team is so cohesive. You can see like the trust that they have in each other and the coaching staff or whatever. Every game you see it on the ice, and like, there's definitely something brewing, and they believe in what's going on too. And I think they're also kind of aware of how they're treated by hockey media. Like, you know, nobody's paying attention to us. Like, that doesn't, who cares? Like, let's just keep, we'll pop up in the playoffs, and guess what? Like, nobody will know what's about to hit them, which is a really kind of dangerous thing. Like, the Islanders are a very dangerous team. Like I said before, like, they're a live dog. This team is so dangerous to play against in a 7-game series. So them getting to the playoffs is going to, James Myrtle like randomly took a shot at Island. Someone, made a Photoshop of like John Tavares and a snake, and he's like, let's check in how Islander fans are doing. Just like, he's still upset that they lost or something. I don't know what his deal is.
Troll. That's what his deal is.
Yeah, he's a troll. Yeah, it's just a troll.
He's to Canadians, he is a journalist and well respected member of the hockey media community. And to Americans, he's a troll that likes to poke Islanders fans because we're easy to poke, let's be honest. Don't take the bait.
I saw a response from I think his name is Tony on Twitter, and I was like, it was very well crafted and stuff, right. And like, this guy went out of his way to do that. Like, man, like, I think it's just a little bit of fear. Like, this team that we've just been heaping piles of shit on for basically his whole career, and especially this year after the Tavares thing, like, this might all blow up in our face, and the Islanders being the ones to do that is would be an incredible story. Absolutely incredible. And neither one of us thought we'd be in the position to have it's still a very remote chance. Like, even Trott said, like, this team is 2 or 3 years away, but they are in a position to do that, to be the party crashers that you'd almost like, if we could draw up a Islanders run, a magical run, like, this would be it. Right. They have a serious chip on their shoulder, and just to make everyone to shove it in front of everyone's faces. Like, this is what we've all wanted forever. This is a great opportunity. I think the players know that too. And, oh man, it's just, there's so much at stake now. It's crazy.
It's all about, I mean, when Trott says that, and he said it in an article with written by Andrew Gross of Newsday, when he talks about it, them being, you know, 2 or 3 years away from being like a perennial Stanley Cup contender, what that's about is establishing the baseline for what the team accepts right now. And what you're seeing, like you're saying, is you're seeing that cohesion, that formulation of that. And, you know, there are creaks here and there. I mean, again, we just talked about a bunch of periods where they just did not play the way that Trotz wants them to play. And in fact, that's what's great about that CCM line is somebody asked them about, you know, what does that line mean to you to roll those guys out there and have them basically just cycle the other team to death in their own zone. And Trott said, I wish some of the other lines had that same ability. With those guys, just they go in there to work, and they go in there, they follow the game plan, they're hard on the pucks. I know these are like really cliche coach speak stupid things to say, but it's true. And if you watch again the replay of that Tampa game, there's a huge difference between the way Martin, Cizikas, and Clutterbuck attack the Tampa zone and the way the other lines attack the Tampa zone. The other lines didn't get any time in the zone at all. Meanwhile, Clutterbuck and Cizikas and Martin go out there and they just churn them out. Especially that third period, it was all those guys. They had a lot of time in there and they earned it. And they earned 6 points for their trouble too. That's what he wants. He wants that sort of mentality. And by continuing to do that, hopefully in 2 or 3 years, it is ingrained in the organization and you don't have to teach people because the players will kind of already know, or they will teach it themselves. And then you kind of get on autopilot and then it's like,
you're the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Basically, you're the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Washington Capitals. Like you're right. Now at that point, you're fine tuning. Maybe you bring in a guy here, you call up a guy here, you move a guy there. You know, at that point, the hard part is done. It's the fine tuning that makes a difference. And the beautiful part of all this is that we get to watch this happen in real time. And I promise you that people like James Myrtle haven't been watching this. And I also promise you that you will not see him at an Islanders game. He is not listening to this. You will not run into him at Nassau Coliseum just taking in a game. He will not show his face anywhere near an Islanders game because that's not his game. He does not care. So again, if he's trying to, you know, poke the bear or you know, troll Islanders fans because he's bored in the Athletic offices or something, don't take the bait because he's not worth it. I promise you, he's not.
It's just so good. Like this whole post Maple Leafs game, like stretch, whatever it's been unbelievable to watch. Like him, and he's like someone I've like unfollowed and never will, you know, really read his stuff. I think the Athletic is like outside of the teams, which we call beat coverage, has kind of taken a weird turn towards.
He blocked me on Twitter, so I didn't have to unfollow him. He blocked me. I had him unfollowed already, but yeah, and the Athletics, like we talked about last week, the Athletics beat coverage is great. I mean, the Anaheim Ducks are melting down in real time right now, and Eric Stevens is the guy all over it. He's been following that team forever, and man, it's poetic. Like, it's great. It's almost like epic. Oh, I feel so bad for them, but the Islanders play them on Sunday, so don't feel too bad for them because hopefully the Islanders can help them continue their misery in the Coliseum.
But that's like, it's so funny too. I think, you know, as from a fan level, I think this is more about teams from this side of the border, just because we've never really had, especially out of the big markets, we've never had coverage by more than one or two people. We always joke about the Islanders having one beat writer from 2007 to 2011 at the games. But other teams, I'm sure, like the Dallas Stars, whatever, these fans probably didn't get covered the way that their other sports teams in their metro area had been covered. In Canada, that's never been a problem. Like, they've just been spoon-fed hockey forever and ever. So this is just like the type of media coverage that they're used to. And then, excuse me. Sorry, coughed. So now that that the Athletic has kind of based their hockey coverage out of that city, it's basically turned into Canadian hockey media coverage and like their strategy. And you're just seeing it. It's been tough. It's been tough to deal with. And like, man, God, like if they didn't have Staple there, man, I would really have a lot of problems with that, whole hockey coverage. That's what's going off.
No, it definitely has a skew to it, but I'm glad you brought up Arthur Staple because, Tuesday at, I believe, 1 o'clock, Art is doing a Q&A. He hadn't done one in a while, certainly the first one of 2019, at the Athletic. So if you can get over there, submit a question. He answers a lot of them. He's on for a good hour or so, and he answers a ton of them. I beg of you, though, please, if you're going to do this, please, for me, don't ask a question about Josh Hosang. And it's not because I don't want to know. It's because 50 people are going to be asking questions about Josh Hosang. Don't be the 51st. Come up with something else, please, because he's going to answer it once, and then he's going to move on to other topics. So we don't need 50 questions about Josh. This is what the last Q&A, I believe, was about. It was Devon Toews, and like every other question was about Toews. And Toews is here now, so we don't have any questions. But spread the questions out. There's lots of other questions I'm sure you can ask. You don't need to ask the 51st question about Josh Hosang. It's okay. He'll get to it, I promise. But don't ask.
There are like good question. Like when I say good, I mean like questions that feel good to ask about the Islanders right now. Like, this team is in a very interesting spot going into All-Star game and trade deadline season. Unfortunately, the All-Star game also means that all of the hockey media gets together. So there's going to be, you know, especially with the time with the Hosang thing, it's going to be very annoying to hear what comes out of there.
John, what's it like to be an All-Star for the Toronto Maple Leafs? You've never been here before. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm sensing.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Whoa, it was a good time. I'm glad to proud to represent the Maple Leafs here at the All-Star game.
Oh man, it's gonna be great. And I hope I give the Islanders Twitter, or I think it was Twitter or the Instagram, they made a tongue-in-cheek reference, or no, the NHL account did it, I think. Actually, they put up Barzal's like a highlight from that game, and they wrote like quote-unquote the kid who won the Calder. And I was like, thank you. Like, I don't – whoever is running that account must be an Islander fan.
Maybe it was Brian Compton, for all we know. Like, he might
– Yeah, whoever it was, like, it felt good because he was like, you know, at least you were paying attention that he said – actually said that. Right. And that, like, that kind of sums up the whole situation, you know. Oh, like, definitely. Just right there. Like, that's it in a nutshell. And if more people knew about that, they'd be like, oh, wow, like, sort of can see your point. And that's kind of how we've been feeling about this entire season. Like,
a little bit. Yeah, but I mean, again, like we've been saying, if people don't want to watch, don't watch. It's fine. You'll see them later. And I mean, again, I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Like, you know, this team is not perfect in a lot of ways. But and I totally understand people not watching the Islanders last year, unless out of curiosity or something like that. But you know, if people aren't going to watch and they don't want to be witness to this sort of transformational thing, and that's on them. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm not going to begrudge them, because I don't know if I would want to watch it either if I was a fan of the LA Kings or Vancouver Canucks or whatever. Like, that's fine, but, you know, don't come at us like experts, because trust me, like, we're the guys watching the games. So
yeah. It's funny too. It's like, I think that 2014-15 team, which everybody loved, it was everybody's second favorite team. Maybe it's like I wish more people understood that. Excuse me. The Islanders are maybe this is being biased, but if you are a neutral right now, why wouldn't you root for this team with all that's, you know, this whole situation? But
no, that's a good point.
It was like the Golden Knights last year. If you were a neutral, or the only reason I was rooting for the Jets was because I had money on them to win the Stanley Cup. But like, if you were a neutral, you were probably rooting for the Golden Knights. It's a ridiculous story. Right. The Islanders aren't the story isn't the same as the Golden Knights, but this team should be the one that people are being like, you know what, they're like the underdogs of this season. It's such a good story.
Right.
They've stayed alive. I guess people kind of flock to the Sabres a little bit.
Yeah,
but that's maybe what is confusing me more than anything, is that the Islanders, this Islanders season has been shown kind of everything that's good about sports, and nobody is really picking up on that. They're kind of being vilified. It's really funny.
That's a good point. And I think if you asked a lot of people, they'd be like, Matt Martin is such a dirty player. It's like, no, Tom Wilson is what a lot of people think Matt Martin is. And Matt Martin couldn't be any further from Tom Wilson if he tried. Like, for a guy with that many hits, how many times has he been suspended? The one time? Like, yeah. You know, because
he's someone who's just learned. He just learned exactly where the line is.
Yeah.
And he just has never gone over it.
Never,
and I think
not even close, you know.
And I think a lot, you can see a lot of that in like the way he's treated on the ice as well by the opposition.
Yeah.
Right. Like the Wilson, people go out of their way to mess with Tom Wilson. People kind of go out of their way to mess with Cal Clutterbuck. Nobody really does that with Matt Martin. And it's not, I don't think it's like a, you know, I don't want to punch him in the face kind of thing, but it's more of a like, you know what? Like, I know that guy isn't going to be goaded into anything. So
I remember one time he got into a fight with Tom Katsopoulos, who I believe was with the Penguins at the time, and he hit him real hard, and Katsopoulos went down like a bag of pucks, and Martin immediately waved the trainer over, like he just stopped, and he like
yeah,
and like that to me, you know, I kind of got it. I had to restrain myself from getting into it with the people at Japers Rink during the Islanders Caps playoff series a couple of years ago, because they had basically vilified Martin as this like incredibly dirty sort of vampire that was like stalking the ice. And I kept saying, he's really not like that. But yeah, you know, at that point, nobody really wants to listen, but I'm not saying that, like, I agree with you as in the Islanders are not, for whatever reason, being seen as this great underdog story in the NHL, which they are. And I'm not putting that all on Matt Martin, but I'm just saying like that's one factor. There's a lot of biases, I think, that are involved here. I think a lot of people, again, like we said before, they don't know what the arena situation is like. So they're just like, those guys, they play these two crappy arenas.
Yeah.
I can't get into that.
Everybody listening to this podcast. Like.
Yeah.
I think everybody listening to this podcast has been asked by one person who isn't an Islander fan. It's not their fault, but they're like, oh, well, like, I don't, can you explain the situation with the arena? And you're like, no, I can't. It's like, it's just, I've done it. First of all, we've done it all. We've all done it 100 times. And right. Make block 4 hours off on your calendar and we can go through this the right way.
Right.
That's really it, which is it's unfortunate, but it's true.
It'll be nice when you could just say, oh, they're building it. Yeah, the building, you can look at it. It's over there. Go look in Google Maps or something like that. You can look right out the way. And next time you're on the Cross Island Parkway, look at Belmont Park. You'll see it. Oh, good. Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, no, I think there's definitely a lot of sort of biases and, you know, definitely a lot of kind of like lingering feelings about the team that unfortunately, again, are preventing people from watching like a really cool story unfold. But again, that's them, not us. We can watch
let's
it.
Hope. And I hope more Islander fans are starting to like feel that too. Like we should start maybe ignoring the white noise. Like I know a lot of people were upset with the Barclays Center crowd with the Islanders and Rangers game.
Yeah.
You know what? Whatever. It happened. Yeah. It sucks that more Ranger fans live in the city. It's more convenient for them. It would be nice. Like I could have I should have been there. If I was here, I would be maybe a little upset I wasn't there, but you know, don't let that distract you. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's the Islanders are so much better than they should be and have a really good chance. They have an opportunity to turn the entire hockey world like on its head and just make the people who have been shoving it down our throats just eat it. And that's such a good spot to be in right now.
Sure. Actually, and real quick before we wrap up, that reminds me of the whole attendance thing. We were talking for weeks about how kind of concerned, maybe curious we were going to be about that Hurricanes game on a Tuesday night in Nassau Coliseum in January. The attendance was totally just fine. I think it was just like 100 short of a sellout, or maybe it was a sellout, or just close to it. It was totally fine. So kudos to everybody for going to that game. Kudos to everybody who went to the game against the Lightning at Barclays Center. It was Pride Night. I was really impressed by the job the Islanders did. It wasn't just like, yeah, Pride Night, whatever. Like they gave out all kinds of stuff. They had all kinds of charity initiatives going on there. They had flags everywhere. It was great. It was great to see. I appreciate that. And hopefully that continues Thursday at Nassau Coliseum against the Devils. Maybe they'll, you know, Ken Danica will appreciate it for sure. Then they got the Caps game the next night, Sunday the 20th, 3:00 at Barclays against the Anaheim Ducks, who are winless in their last 11 games. Randy Carlyle isn't getting fired somehow. They traded Andrew Cogliano to Dallas for Devin Shore, who I wasn't even sure was still in the league.
This has been a season of very strange trades.
Yeah. But they're somehow still in the playoffs. Like that happens. I don't know.
It's crazy. I think they're 0-6 and like 4 or whatever.
Right.
In the last 10, so they've been kind of collecting points. It's the same record basically as 2-8, but still, like, what is? I don't know what's going on. If you have time, like, take a look at what's going on out in the West, because all of a sudden, like, a couple days ago, I could have sworn I was like, wait a minute, the Blackhawks are like 6 points out. They were way further up in the standings than I thought. Like the Blues are, these teams are all kind of still in it out there.
Right.
And that just kind of gives you more of a feel of how kind of good the Islanders have been. And just the fact that they're not cemented in a playoff spot goes to show like that this is, there's this whole conference like is really good.
Because
if they were in the West, like this team would, the Islanders would be a shoo-in for the playoffs right now. Yeah.
There's a lot of parity going on this year and a lot of teams are going through bad stretches, but they're still in the playoffs. The Stars, the coach of the Stars, Jim Montgomery, was like all over. He was so frustrated by the culture of mediocrity. So we went from the fucking horseshit guy comment from the president to the culture of mediocrity comment from the coach, and the Stars are still in the playoffs. They're in the playoffs by a point. So things are
so weird
everywhere. Those very same Blackhawks who the Islanders, you know, kind of pumped the shots onto, they're going to be their final game in Chicago on the 22nd before the All-Star break. So, I mean, this is a stretch where the Islanders can really get some points. And again, I don't want to jinx them, but they need to get some points out of these 5 games. And I mean, if they can win 4 of them, that will be a good thing. Hopefully the Blue Jackets lose 2 of their current games. While the Islanders were hours before the Islanders beat up on the Lightning, the Blue Jackets are beating up on the Rangers 7-5. So thanks a lot, Rangers. But they need to. They can't stop the train. Like they can't rest for a minute, which has got to be frustrating, but at the same time, exciting.
Yeah, yeah. They. It's cliche again, but going into these breaks on a good note is obviously really important. Just for us, you know, right? That means there's what three days that you can't do anything about a three game losing streak, you know?
Yeah.
So it's for us, you know, you just hope the Islanders kind of just keep the same level going into that. They obviously are, like you said, winnable games. And then, and then hopefully we come out of that All-Star break and still nobody's talking about us, or they're still putting up pictures of John Tavares as a snake that somebody tweeted or something and still treating us the same way, because whatever, they'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. So somebody from the Vancouver province will definitely write about Barzal, because it's like the one time they get kind of one-on-one time with Barzal. But other than that, I can't imagine a whole lot going to be written about the Islanders in the meantime. But
which is great. That's good. Yeah. I also wanted to say, like, the beating, we were talking about the Lightning before, and just like beating them, whatever. I kind of half-heartedly, it's not true, I full-heartedly mean it. Like the Lightning are going to be so important to the Islanders in a couple months. So like, just, you know, maybe study up on that team. You know, I know there's some really good players and stuff. We definitely need a backup goalie down there, which I, you know, hopefully they can take care of. But I like, it's funny to have. There's always that, especially when you have, when your team has a hated rival like the Islanders have with the Rangers, and now with John Tavares. It's funny. Like, you always find yourself asking yourself, do you root for this team? Do you love this team more than you hate that team? Right. And with the thing in Toronto, like, it's very even right now. So it's like, I don't know if I'd rather, if I would sign something that said, like, the Islanders aren't going to win the Stanley Cup, but I can guarantee you that John Tavares doesn't win one when it's time in Toronto. If I would actually take it. But it's just so funny. Like, my feelings on the Lightning has just completely changed. The Bruins, Bruins too.
I was
going
to say Bruins too. Yeah, and like, Habs for maybe for that matter.
Yeah. Oh, if it's the Habs, if we get a Habs first round series against the or a playoff series against the Maple Leafs, it would be fucking hysterical, because that Toronto will melt down. But you know, like, it's so funny, like, just how, going into the All-Star break, I'm keenly aware of how those teams are doing, and what their kind of needs are at the break and stuff. It's and just how much I now, like, they're just part of being an Islander fan is rooting for them slyly.
Yeah, I got no beef with the Lightning. That's fine. I find their team to be a lot of fun, a lot of really, really fun players, likable players. And yesterday in the game against the Islanders, down 4-1 in halfway through the third period, John Cooper pulled his goalie with like 10 minutes to go and then sent him back onto the bench while the game was going on. That's awesome. Like, that's just complete. Everybody was like, well, I've never seen this before. Trott said he's like, I haven't seen that in 20 years. He's like, I don't know if I've ever seen it, maybe. But that was definitely that's fun. When they pulled the goalie, I was like, There was 9 minutes to go when I was like, oh, wait, are they on a delayed penalty? And then it was like, nope. And Brendan Burke is like, no, John Cooper has pulled his goalie with 9 minutes to go. I was like, holy cow, what? That's unbelievable. And then he was racing back, and it was a lot of fun.
I love it.
Good for him. He's also the Hofstra guy, so we love it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is they are an ally.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, wow.
Until we play them in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, let's not. Well, you know, at that point, all bets are off. So,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, listen, what you were talking about underdog stories, I'll tell you right now, I was absolutely rooting for the New Jersey Devils that year they went to the Cup Final, because that was an underdog story, and they helped us all out a great deal.
I'm still someone who, like, I really wish Islander fans were able to be so aware that when Adam Henrique visits the Coliseum, that he gets like a standing O, and I'd be totally okay with Adam Henrique having a statue, you know, a statue outside somewhere. Like, they should retire his number. They should do. That would be a great thing for the Islanders, like, game ops to do. It's very cheeky. It would be fun to give Adam Henrique like a video tribute when it comes to the Coliseum with the Ducks. Yeah.
Thank you, Adam. Like, just to see look on his face, like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, what did I do? That could trade me here? I didn't even – nobody told me? That would be pretty funny. But, yeah, no, for sure. And, yeah, I mean, that was a fun underdog story. I got to tell you, Marty Brodeur doing that, it was crazy. And then it all
– I was never so sure of the outcome of a game and been wrong than that Henry game. The whole time I was just – I couldn't even picture them winning that game. And then when it happened, oh, my God.
Yeah. You're like, well, I said, this is it. This is, you know.
Whether you hate a team more than you root for your team, and I think obviously – having literally zero success with your team probably has a lot to do with it, but that was a seminal moment, and hopefully hopefully we get a moment like that, not as far into the playoffs against against Toronto.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But let's save that for another time.
yeah. All of a sudden, we'll be raising like other 13 teams' jerseys to the Raptors.
That'd be a fun. Only the Islanders can have that night where they like.
Yeah, like alumni night. They just break out. Like 20 years from now, right. Alec Martinez, Adam Henrique.
Fortunately, Ken Morrow is still here. Although he doesn't count. He plays for them. But whoever played for the Habs in the 79 finals. Trevor Linden could come back. He's a guy. You know, he did what he could. Although the Rangers still won. But yeah, I got to think more about this. It's late. Okay. Tell everybody your Twitter handle again.
It's the Big Lebowski with two E's.
You should follow Mike at the Big Lebowski with two E's. Another guy you should follow on Twitter, Mikhail Grabowski. Was he always on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Official Grabo.
You know what? No, I think he got scooped up by, who's it, TSN or Sportsnet or one of them.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he's doing something with them.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I love him. So.
Yeah, he's, there's a lot of Leaf stuff on there, but Official Grabo with one word, you should follow Grabo there, and say hello. Seems like he wants to talk, so good for him. Looks like he looks fresh and healthy, and he's having fun, so good for him. But yeah, you should also follow Mike too on Twitter. You should also stop at sneakyathletic.com. You can get 10% off your order if you put anxiety in the discount code box. There's less games at Barclays Center now, so they're going to be playing more games at the Coliseum. You want that Fort Never Lose stuff? sneakyathletic.com. Put anxiety in the discount box. You save 10%. Come on. I mean, that's a great deal. You got to do that stuff. We will be back next week, probably after that game against Chicago. And hopefully we got a whole bunch more wins to talk about. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we will talk to you probably Wednesday. All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you then.